Usually I hear people. All right, here I am. This is the Let's Go Jeannie call, December 27th. Happy Christmas to all of you and happy New Year coming up. We want to welcome all the mentorship students. And let's talk about the upcoming events. So on January 5, 6, and 7, we're in Los Angeles for the Multifamily Millions. We also have Team 2 going out on January 5, 6, and 7 in Atlanta, Georgia. And then on January 12, 13, and 14, we'll be in San Diego, California for the Multifamily Millions. And the second team will be in Philadelphia, same weekend. We also have the Washington, D.C. Immersion on January 5, 6, and 7 in Arlington, Virginia. Jeff Lindahl will be out there, and he'll also be in Hawaii for the immersion January 12, 13, and 14 in Honolulu. Good for him. He's getting to go someplace great. Let's do a high five for Michelle Jiang and Lisa Zahner. They're from San Francisco, California. They have been in coaching for 2 months. Their first deal is a 24-unit apartment in Ohio, and they just got a signed purchase and sale agreement, which is so excellent for them. They worked hard, and they managed to pull it off. So we have an operator on the line today. William, are you there?
Hi, Jeannie. I'm sorry, I was muted. I'm here.
Yes, that's fine. Happy Christmas and New Year to you. And would
Same
you tell
you
everybody how to ask a question?
Of course. If you would like to ask a question, please press star zero for questions, please. Thank you.
Okay. So I hope everybody had a fantastic holiday. We had a beautiful Christmas party here at the office with a Yankee swap, and everybody got some great eating. Everybody brought something for a big, huge potluck lunch, and it was great. Dave let us all go home around 12:30, so that was really good. And hopefully everybody had a nice day with their families. I'm going to ask the first question that came in from Scott Johnson. Are you starting to see deals out there that are nowhere near the Holy Trinity when you do the numbers? If so, how do you combat an owner asking for 3 times what his property is worth? Should you still make an offer based on the Holy Trinity, or can you make a higher offer deviating from the Trinity just to get the property? Well, that's a loaded question. Number one, most people that have deals that are so out of whack, the owner is not living in the real world, and he's looking at his payday and not the realistic way to buy a property. He probably wouldn't buy his own property if it was priced at that price. But what you want to do, if you're going to be raising money from an investor, is you want to make sure that you can give them a return. And if you don't meet the Holy Trinity, you're going to give them a marginal return, and guess what? You're not going to get anything. So you really have to buy based on what you see immediately out of the gate, and then you can factor in some of the value plays. But if you're not meeting the Holy Trinity, it's going to come out of your portion of the ownership, which is not what we teach you and not how you're going to make the money back for your education. And that's our first goal, is it not, is to put that money right back in your bank account so that you can be in the positive moving forward and get the education that you paid for and get into a deal that is safe and good for your investors as well as yourself. So that's my take on it. You want to add anything, Jermaine?
Yeah, and also, like Jeannie said, if you find a deal and let's say it's 3 times higher, I'm just throwing that number out because you threw that number out, Scott, and you know, and it doesn't, you're not going to make any money. Well, guess what? You're going to be doing a ton of work, a lot of work for zero money. And after a while, I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to walk away from the property because it's not going to be worth you doing all that work. So you definitely want to make sure that when you are analyzing a deal, you're getting a piece of that, a piece of something, so that way it's worth your while and you don't walk away from the property.
Okay. Any questions yet, William?
Yes, our first question comes from Lisa. Lisa, please go ahead.
Good morning, Jermaine. Good morning, Jeannie. How are you both?
We're doing
good. Morning,
good,
Lisa.
Lisa. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I'm sure you're enjoying your grandson and in heaven holding him. I'm sure of that.
I am, and he's taking a nap now, so I don't feel too guilty being on this call. But I say good morning because I'm in Southern California, and it's going to be 80 degrees here, not to rub it in.
Yeah. Well, when I came to work, it was 14 this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
sorry.
Very, very windy, so it's frigid.
Well, I'm glad to hear you all had a great Christmas. We did, too. So lovely.
Good.
Just wanted to call in and just maybe I know you know that we're in contract and coming up on a close actually in January on a property in Tyler, Texas that we really like. It's a 104-unit property that we just really like. And I thought I'd call in and see if you had any other words of wisdom for us on that, Jeannie.
No, I think Tyler's an excellent market. We have properties in Tyler, and we love that market. It's always been good to us, and I wish you plenty of luck. And if you want to give people your contact information to reach out to you, go right ahead and do it.
That would be great. Thank you. It's my partner and I, Paul Eterno, and we're Legacy Property Partners. And Paul can be reached at 631-664-6372, and I'm Lisa Schmidt, and I can be reached at 760-443-0747, and we'd love to talk to anyone who'd like to hear more about the property.
Excellent.
Good job.
Good job, Lisa.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
And when you finally close, Lisa, don't forget to give me a call so we can get you on the wall.
Absolutely.
You and Paul.
We will. Thank
right.
you so very much. Happy New
You're
Year
welcome.
To you both. Thanks.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. Up next, we have Reggie. Reggie, please go ahead.
Good morning, Jeannie and Jermaine. How are you guys doing?
Good morning,
How
Reggie.
Are you, Reggie?
Fine.
Doing pretty good. A little cold down here in Maryland. Other than that, things are pretty good.
Yeah, we're cold too.
Yeah, I heard. Anyway, quick question. Back at UP9, Dave mentioned about the certificate training program, and I was wondering, where is that right now? Because I've been looking forward to that, participating in that.
Well, our part of the job is done. We're waiting for the people that are putting it all together to finish, and we thought by now it would be done. Perhaps the first week of the year, we can bug them again and get that, you know, sent out to everyone.
Hmm. Okay, so right now you don't have a definitive date as of yet?
No, I was told a few weeks ago that it'd be another 2 weeks, so I'm just going to give you by the end of next week, we're going to reach out and make sure that these people have some fire under their job description there.
Hmm.
Yeah, Reddy. They're telling us that it's a lot of moving parts to the program, and so they're trying to get it just right. We finished our end of it, but we're waiting for them. So it'll be any day now. I know it's been a long time, but it'll definitely be any day now.
Okay, great. All right, that's all I need to know. Thank you, guys.
All right,
great.
No problem. We'll definitely let you know. Well, as soon as we get it, we'll send you out an email, and you can definitely get started. So.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome. Have a good one, Reggie.
Okay.
All right.
Chip, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Chip from also from sunny Southern California.
How are you, Chip?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jeannie, and hello, Jermaine.
How are you, Chip?
In conversation. I'm doing well. Thanks, Jermaine. I've been in conversation with a broker, a terrific broker. He's been very helpful, properties that my partner and I are looking at out in Atlanta. But last week he told me that Atlanta is a really hot market right now. No seller would go into contract with an out-of-state owner without the owner having seen the property first. So he was telling me that the sequence would be once we get an LOI accepted, we would then have to go out, see the property before any seller would enter into a PSA. And I just wanted to get your feedback on that.
Well, you know, you should have somebody on your team that lives near the property.
Uh-huh.
Do you?
No, other than maybe.
Atlanta, Georgia, Jeannie.
Atlanta, well, it's not a specific property. We're looking at a number of them, and this particular broker was helping us out. Could we use him?
You could use him, but if you want to call me offline, my direct line is 339-469-5111. I'll give you four or five people that I trust implicitly that can help you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeannie. I'm sorry. I missed the last four digits.
339-469-5111.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Well, that's very generous, and I will do that. Is this something that you guys hear from brokers in markets that are when you're an out-of-state buyer?
It's oftentimes when they've had deals fall apart because people didn't go out and look at it. So it could be a nervous seller that he's already been disappointed once. He doesn't want to be disappointed again.
Right. So if we have somebody go out and look at it and they say, yeah, it looks great. Hopefully that's enough for a seller to then go into into a PSA.
Exactly.
Yeah. And have them take pictures too, Chip.
Okay.
You want pictures.
You know, and I told him, well, you know, we can virtually, you know, walk the neighborhood, see the roofs, see every, you know. But he said, yeah, but sellers aren't gonna go into a contract without their buyer actually having seen the property.
Yeah.
Okay, terrific, Jeannie. Again, thank you very much. I will give you a call a little later on.
Okay, thanks. Good talking to you, Chip.
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Happy New Year.
Jermaine. You too.
Okay, we have no further questions at the moment. And just want a friendly reminder for those who just joined and would like to ask a question to press star zero on your telephone keypad. Thank you.
People must be starting their new year early, Jeannie.
Good day. That's all right. I have a couple of emailed in questions. Do you think multifamily prices will be decreasing in the near future, or do you see them continuing to rise? And that's from Pat Cook in Alexandria, Virginia. My personal take on it, and I'm not the expert out here. I mean, this would have been a great Dave question, but my personal take is I see them continuing to rise because if industry is going to have a reduction in fees to create business here in the United States after this tax relief that's going into place, then, my goodness, I see a multifamily pricing going up, up, up because industry is going to drive people to live in apartments because there'll be so many jobs that they will have to be. Do you have anything to add on that, Jermaine?
No, I think I agree with you. I mean, it all depends on where it's located also, so you got to remember that. If you start to see places that are going to have tons of businesses and companies that are going to start moving in. You're going to start seeing increases in apartment complexes. And then those places where it's going to be leveled out, you're probably going to see them maintain the same level. So it all depends on where it's going to be located, I believe, in my opinion. So, but that is a good question that you might want to talk to Dave about, because he'll break it down for you state by state and where he thinks the best areas are to go.
And you can go to the Milton or bestcities.org, and I'm sure they have something to say on the topic too. Another question is, do you know of any good virtual assistant systems that are geared towards investors? And that's from Everett Jensen in Dallas, Texas. Personally, I don't. Jermaine, do you?
I have no idea. I think if you Google virtual assistants, they'll give you a list of them, of those, some of the ones that are really good to use, how much they cost. So I would definitely Google that and see what's out there for you to use for your business. From what I understand, they're really good to have in your business if you have them. But
your question says it's geared toward investors. That's the real hiccup. Virtual assistants, I don't know about the investor part of it, but I know that when you're having a business and there's a lot of proofreading and editing and things like that that maybe you can't get done, you put it in the hands of a virtual assistant that will help alleviate it, and it's pretty inexpensive to have that done. But I don't know that it's geared towards investors. Are you talking about towards investors to put money into your deal, or are you talking about creating a property package or something like that? That could be something geared towards an investor, but the terminology is what's getting me here.
It's a good business if you can get it.
Yep. So this next question comes from Beverly Wong, and it's very much like the question that came in from Pat Cook. So her question is, now that the tax bill has been passed, how do you think it will affect those in the real estate investing business? I think business is going to be very strong as far as multifamily, maybe office, commercial, retail. I think you're going to see a real big boom. I don't think it's going to affect the single-family model so much, but certainly the multifamily, retail, commercial space, even mobile home parks. I think you're going to see things really opening up here, because you're going to be getting more and more industries will be coming here to America to set up shop because of the lower tax figures.
I know that in the last week of February, we're actually going to have Amanda Hand come on, and she's going to explain all of that to everybody in the on the call. So you definitely want to be here on the last week of February, because Amanda will be here, and she'll explain how the new tax code is going to affect everybody in multifamily investing. Just wanted to give a program alert.
Well, I'm glad. So, operator, do you have any other questions?
Yes, we do. Up next, we have Gene. Gene, please go ahead.
Hi, Jeannie and Jermaine. Happy holidays.
Gene. How are you?
I'm doing great. By the way, on the virtual assistant question, I've used Upwork to hire virtual assistants to call around the neighborhood, and one I have for bookkeeping as well, so.
Can you spell that? Because I didn't get it. I'm sure other people are going to question.
Upwork. UPWORK. Upwork.com. I think it used to be freelance too. I believe it. They got bought, and now it's Upwork.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. So the question I had is you know, coming into the new year, perfect time to do goal setting. And what do you recommend we do? What's the best thing we can do this time of year to prepare for 2018 as far as goal setting goes?
Well, I'll bet Dave is going to talk about that when he gets a chance to either have a webinar or something like that, because we're all forced to do our goal setting, and we do it as a quarterly goal and then a six-week sprint. And he has us working on that as we speak. So it's due next Wednesday, so we're all in goal-setting mode, which comes together and produces a fluent company. That's why we always seem so seamless, is because we have to prepare the whole quarter ahead of time.
So what I would do, Gene, is and Dave's probably going to talk to you guys about this, is how I would go about it is you want to set goals. So I would set weekly goals, monthly goals, quarterly goals, probably a six-month goal, and then do a yearly goal.
Okay.
So that's how I would break it down.
Okay, we'll do.
All right.
Okay, up next we have Dan. Dan, please go ahead.
Thank you. Happy holidays. This is Dan and Kathy from bright and sunny, cold Massachusetts. How are you?
Dan, Kathy.
Good, Dan. How are you?
It is cold.
I think Santa was a little cold coming down that chimney. I have a general question on your on the sort of the rules of thumb, and more about the definition of the payroll. Other than paying the bonuses, are there other things? I know it has taxes and work my comp. Is there other definition for that particular line item? I get that question a lot from a couple of brokers that I've been trying to.
You're going
to
kill me
with.
Because I was half listening. Somebody came into my office and I was chatting with him. Can you repeat it?
It's okay. So I get a question from the brokers what I define as the payroll line item. When I'm dealing with the underwriting, and I understand, you know, the bonuses for the, you know, the agents and things like that, and taxes. Is there any other definition for that line item?
Well, payroll is actually what you're paying for payroll, because even though you have a property management company, the property manager that is assigned to your property, you have to pay them. You have to pay the maintenance people. So, you know, on a 140-unit property, you're going to have a full-time property manager, a full-time leasing agent, and a full-time maintenance guy that is HVAC approved. If you don't have HVAC approved, then you're going to hire contract services for that end of it. So you're going to have three people on your payroll. So you have to figure anywhere from $900 to $1,000 a door to cover their salaries.
Okay, so the management company isn't paying those fees.
No.
I am. Okay.
You're not paying them. You are.
And the management company manages them? Is that?
The management company employs them, but they're assigned to your property. So the management company is covering their health benefits, but you are paying their paycheck.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then, where I thought it was the management company.
No. The management company gets paid for collected rents, and they get paid to make sure that your property is protected. But the people that work on the property are employed by you.
Okay. Well, that makes sense now. I was misguided. That's all I have. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the...
Let me add something to that, Dan. What you should
Hello,
do,
Jeffrey.
Right?
I didn't know you were on here. You got lucky.
Yeah. You guys are doing such a great job.
What you need to do, right, is when you're looking at property, because having people, you need good qualified people to work there, on-site managers, maintenance people. So what you do is you call up a property management company in the area, call up a couple, tell them, like, for that H property, so they'll tell them if it's a C property or a B property, and just tell them how many units it is, like, what do they require for staffing, how many people do they have, will they need? Will they need, like, four people? Will they need five people? What do they pay for benefits? Okay, because, like, the benefits are going to be key if you're going to try to attract any of the other good workers in the area to come work on your property. What does working comp go for in that area? Because it's a lot different in California than it is in Texas. So then you get an idea what to carry, like, per unit, like Jeannie was saying. It could be 900, but if you're up north in Philadelphia, it could be 1,400. It all depends on if there's cheap labor available, the age of the property, and, like, and what they get. What's a good on-site manager get for that size property? Now, remember, if you're going over 150 units, if it's like 300, 400, your on-site manager is going to have to be really, really good. So they could probably be getting double what a regular on-site manager would be getting for like 100 units or 150 units, because they have to run that whole community. Same thing with your lead maintenance. So I call around, just ask what the staffing level would be and what do they pay. Then you can really nail it down on what you should carry for payroll in that area.
So that should obviously be during the sort of interview process when you're interviewing the management companies to talk to those questions.
Yeah, when you're interviewing, right? You tell them what size property you're looking for in that area. You might be looking between 40 and 90, so the staffing is going to be a little bit different. So you just tell them what size properties you're going after.
And the last thing you want to do is have a C-class property with an A-class manager. That just never works. Or have an A-class property with a C-class manager. It doesn't work. You want to make sure that you hire the right people that are qualified to take care of that type property.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a way to get a list of the managers in that local area other than Google and asking the brokers?
Well, you can go to IREM, which is the Institute for Real Estate Management. But also you can just Google the area, and, you know, Google's a wonderful thing, and just do property management companies in that area, and you'll get a slew of them. Then you want to check out their ratings, you know, by looking at some of the properties that they take care of, see if they're good for the area, because, you know, people are ruthless. They just tell it like it is, which I like, because I'm pretty direct myself, so I like that. But
all right. Well, thank you very much. We'll have to coordinate on that lunch pretty soon, too.
There you go. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Gene. Bye, Jermaine. Bye. Thanks, Jeff.
Bye, Kathy.
Bye.
Okay, up next we have Reggie. Reggie, please go ahead.
Hi, Jeannie. Jeff and
Hi,
Jermaine.
Hi, Reggie.
How you guys doing again? I have another quick question I was thinking about. Someone told me, okay, as far as, are there any assumable loans still alive? I mean, as far as commercial properties? Like, I know, although Fannie Mae has non-recourse. Is there rules of thumb, like, for non-recourse? I'm a little mixed up on that.
Even if it's an assumption loan, if it's over $1 million, it's probably a non-recourse loan.
Mm-hmm.
So assumption loans are available. Most of the time they're through Arbor Funding, which does the assumptions most of the time. I mean, there are other assumption loans, but I know Arbor pretty good. And they take a long time, but you're assuming somebody else's loan, and the kicker is you got to make sure that if you take it over and say it's got a 7-year due date,
mm-hmm.
then you got to keep it for 3.5 years and make sure it can be assumed again, or your investors are going to be in that deal for 7 years until you can sell it. because the prepayment penalty is usually so expensive. It could be upwards of $400,000 or $500,000 in a prepayment penalty if you sell it before the due date, unless it can be assumed again and somebody assumes your loan. And that,
but as each year passed, doesn't the prepayment penalty decline? Like the first year is more than the second year? As you get closer to the due date, it doesn't?
No. The loan amount, the loan interest rate, is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the prepayment penalty. Like
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. But it could be upwards of $1 million for a prepayment penalty. And by the time it trickles down, it could be around $400,000. But you got to make sure. I mean, if somebody really wants the property, maybe they pay the prepayment penalty so that they can get a new loan. It's up to them, and it depends on the interest rate, too. So if they really like the property and the interest rate is at 6% when you can get a loan today at 4.5%, 4.8%, you know, they may want to incorporate that prepayment penalty into their loan because they want property. It just depends.
So when it comes to an assumption of a loan, if I want to assume it, do I pay like a 1% fee or something? There's a fee to have to.
Yeah, you do pay a 1% loan fee for assumptions.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was wondering, but I didn't know. I thought assumption of a loan had died, so there are still some available.
Oh, no, they're available. I'm seeing some people that have assumption loans.
And you said Arbor Loan is a company that does?
Arbor Funding. A-R-B-O-R. Arbor Funding.
I guess I can Google them to get the number, right?
Yep, I might have a card in my drawer. Let me see if I do. If I do, I could give you an 800 number. I don't know if I have it. But you can just Google Arbor, A-R-B-O-R, Funding.
Okay, I'll do that. If I can't find them, I'll call you.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny. That's all I got. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Up next, we have Dennis. Dennis, please go ahead.
Hi there. Happy holidays to everybody. I just wanted to respond to the gentleman who asked about the virtual assistants. Just to let everybody know, I'm married to a Filipino, and we have a very big family over there. One of her nephews is he's graduated from college with a degree in graphics design, which is really wonderful for starting up, you know, things like cards and flyers and things like that. But he's also got a whole list of people, and I've really got him to focus on getting people who are the most fluent in English he can find, okay? Because we all know when we call customer service for any kind of software or hardware, you either hear a British accent, which is an Indian, or an American accent, which is a Filipino, and they pretty much do all of the customer service stuff. But you know, I want to be able to use them really for just about anything, and I'm still developing myself what I'm going to use them for. So I just wanted to say, I don't know if it's okay to give out my email or something. If anybody wants specific types of things, then we'll see if we can put it together. You know, we are in the beginning stages, so, you know, it might take a little bit of time, but I will give, you know, we'll give really – really good deals because you're going directly to the people who run the business. And because we're just starting off, you know, I want to give good deals to people. And I'm really looking for ideas myself as to how I can best use them, you know. So that's it. I just wanted to say
2018.
Pardon me?
Why don't you get approved at the UP 2018?
Yes. Yeah, we've already started.
He's talking about getting an exhibitor booth at the UP 2018.
Oh, okay. When is that?
Produce work for your nephew or whoever this is that you're talking about.
Yeah. Uh huh. When
you,
is the
it is September 7, 8, and 9, and you could get an exhibitor booth for anywhere from 2,500 to 3,500 to 5,000. There's three different booths that you could get. And
that could be a
business startup for you.
Yes.
If you give me your email address, I will send you the particulars.
Okay, you want me to just send you my email address?
Or you could just tell me what it is now.
Oh, okay, right now it will work too. Okay, so it's DB, like Dennis Boy, at Innovestors, I-N-N, Nancy Nancy, O-V is in Victory, E-S, like Sam, T like Tom, O-R-S, like Sam, .com.
So Innovestors.
Yeah, db at innovestors.com.
Okay, sounds good. I will send you the particulars, and you can reach out to me at any time that you want with questions or to pick a booth.
Yeah, sure.
So we're only allowed 25, and we're up to about 16 right now. So we got 9 booths we can sell.
Okay.
So that might be a good startup business for you.
Yes, and again, I'm looking because, you know, I think lots of people use virtual assistants for, you know, like the proof, things like that, and writing and everything. But, you know, we're a little different in the real estate end of things, and I think that's what the gentleman was talking about, that, you know, I don't know if we can use them to help sort of get to the motivated sellers, you know, by making calls, but I'm trying to hire people who really speak good fluent English, that they can actually, you know, start doing that and make the first call and list, you know, get the list down to the people that we think are really motivated, and then I continue on after that.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All righty.
Great.
Thanks for sharing.
Sure.
Okay, we have no further questions at the moment.
Okay, so if anybody is interested in having an exhibitor booth at the UP 2018, they can reach out to me, Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-I-E, at rementor.com, and I'll send you over the pamphlet. You can look at it. You can pick your location, and you pay for the booth. And that can drum up any kind of business that you're thinking of. If you have an insurance broker is good. We already have a lender and an SEC attorney and a couple of other people that are coming on board. Property management companies are good to have. People that, you know, have, you know, software or a trade or something like that, that they want to get the word out to the public, that's a good place to have it. Some people that just wrote a book and they want to get it in the hands of a lot of people, they will come there, maybe sell their books at a discounted rate, which will elevate their success rate. So people do all sorts of things as booths, and we welcome you to come on board. Jermaine, anything you want to add today?
Jeannie, I'm listening to your lovely voice.
Why, thank you. I think my voice grew up this year. What do you think? Everybody always used to ask me to have my mother call and order the pizza. So I think I grew up there. They stopped asking me that.
I could see that.
So I have a question from Leslie McCallop, and she's from Maryland. Her question is a little bit long, but I'm going to read it quickly, and I think it might be similar to one of the other questions I've already asked. I just wanted to ask a question regarding the deals I've been analyzing. The template produces strike and offer prices well below asking. Is this all a part of the whole process and finding that perfect deal where the numbers work? When I submit offers, it seems that the sellers are offended because they're considerably lower than asking and aren't even interested in negotiating. So I'm asking, is there something I'm doing wrong, or is this common and you just continue to run numbers until you find that deal that comes close to asking? Are the sellers asking prices unrealistic, or are they reasonable but just don't meet the 12% cash and cash return? What you're looking for, Leslie, is a motivated seller, one who's willing to work with you, that is not so diluted in his vision of what the property should be doing. And they just want to sell because they have a need for one reason or another. Maybe they lost their significant other and their kids just don't want the property. Or they're getting older and they're just tired and don't want to keep running it. So you need somebody like that. So maybe you want to do a direct mail. So buy a list of out-of-state owners and see if you can mail to them and get somebody that is motivated to sell the property. And that's my words of wisdom. Jermaine, anything to add?
Well, I've looked at a couple of Leslie's deals, more than a couple, and she's doing a fantastic job with the underwriting. So, Leslie, you don't have to worry about that. You've been doing a fantastic job with the underwriting. It's just that at this particular time, you know, unfortunately, you know, the deals that you're looking at, the numbers just don't make sense. And you can't put in an offer where the numbers don't make sense, because in the long run, you have to look at it this way. You end up losing money before you make money. So you definitely want to make sure that when you're doing the offer, it makes sense for you, it makes sense for your investors, and that's what counts.
Good. Jeff, would you like to add?
Yes, covered everything.
He likes to sit back and be silent but deadly. So those are the questions that were sent in. If anybody wants to add anything to this call, we're happy to answer anything. And in the meantime, we hope everyone has a wonderful holiday week and a successful 2018 coming up. Lots to do, lots to prepare for. Goal setting is key. That was a good question that came along. And the certifications, I'm going to put a little fire under our people's butt to see if they can call these people and force them to get us something sooner rather than later. Anything else, Jermaine?
No, I think the goal setting is really important. I think folks need to, you know, it's coming up on that time, 2018. I mean, if you haven't done anything in 2017, let's figure out ways. And Jeannie and I will help you, but let's figure out ways how we can get you to the ultimate goal of owning property. If you've done something, let's figure out ways we can double that. I mean, definitely, you know, set some goals. And like I said, you know, Jeannie, myself, Paul, we'll definitely figure out ways to help you to achieve those particular goals. But you got to let us know.
I did want to mention, and I know Jermaine sent out an email to almost everyone that's probably on the call, that Paul Timmons has been working for RE Mentor for 10 years. And we were able to get him to come up and help us in the coaching, help us in customer service, because we're busy and people wait longer than they should to have us look over their deals. And now we have an extra pair of hands, which is going to be really make our jobs a lot less nerve-wracking, because people are waiting for us to finish our analysis, which takes a little bit of time when you're looking at rent rolls and operating expenses and trailing 12s, and I had to go out and invest in this big, huge magnifying glass that Jermaine and I share, because sometimes they're so skinny you can't read them. But Paul's up here now. He took today off. He's been taking Wednesdays off to use some of his vacation time, but He's working Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5, so give him a shout-out. His direct line is 339-469-5148. And he's had that same line for as long as he's worked here. So we'll welcome him back to help us with everything. And I have nothing else to add unless there's more questions.
No, Jeannie, there are no further questions at the moment.
Well, then you get the time off. How about that, Lillian? You get to enjoy an early lunch. I thank you so much, and have a happy new year, everyone. Enjoy your time safely, peacefully. If you're going to drink, don't drive. That's what I say. And, Jermaine, you want to say anything to finish off?
I want to wish everyone a happy new year and a prosperous 2018. And, you know, hopefully 2018, if it wasn't what you wanted it to be, 2017, if it wasn't what you wanted it to be, let's make 2018 what you want to be, and let's figure this thing out so you can definitely change your life and change your family's lives.
Happy investing, everyone. Have a good week. Bye-bye.